the Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
It was a beautiful day. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. I got a fine code devil. He's my pal, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Got a little journalism in his background as well. Done a little bit of talking, heading around here. Appreciate when you come around, and we appreciate when you join the show by dialing 844-967-2789. Now, Matt, it's pretty early to say, but, you know, Tony Evers, all the Democrats, they're all worried about what's coming down the pike. Is it going to be a red wave? And this red wave, if anything, is reflective of the low approval rating of Joe Biden. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of like you, man. I wasn't enamored with the guy. Yeah, but I say not half bad. As far as presidents go, I wasn't enamored, not after the governance of 8 years of Obama. Loved him as a candidate, you know, and he settled into mediocrity, as they often do. And he's still a lot better than most of them, but there's only so much you can do in this day and age. Politics has changed. The country is far too divided. But I don't know where the animus for Joe Biden comes from. I sat down for lunch with a couple of Republicans. Unfortunately, I went to a funeral yesterday, but I got to see some old college friends, and one of them and his brother sat down and we went to lunch and we talked politics the entire time, like long, leisurely lunch. No one really wanted to get back on the road very bad, and lots of politics, and they're both Trump supportive. And I asked the boys, and where's the anger? Where's this animus for Joe Biden coming from? I mean, they threw a couple of talking points at me, and they said they feel it. But I really didn't know, inspired by what? Inspired by what? You know, oh, his corruption was one of the things spouted back at me. Well, you know, look at Hunter Biden and da-da-da-da-da-da. And man, it was, and I said, but do you have a qualm with Donald Trump's daughter and son-in-law working in the White House and making $630 million while they're on the supposed taxpayer dole, although apparently didn't take, you know, the job salary, you know, preferred the fringe benefits of access to the president, and selling that access is now some of the reporting is implying about Jared Kushner.
Getting $2 billion from the Saudis.
Talking about his contacts, not his prowess as a financial manager, because he's not that good at that, but he's certainly connected to the right people.
Well, so what was your reaction? What do you think that animus was coming from your friends?
Through disinformation on some level. Through disinformation. The only real takeaway I had from this conversation was they wanted more family values espoused. You know, it all comes back to the family values, Crudy. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. I said, you know, I had this conversation with Ron Johnson after he said, you know, it's not society's problem, it's your problem to raise your kid, right? And I got the same question for you boys who know me and have known me for 30 years. Here's my question. Same one I asked Ron. Well, I'm an orphan. What about me? Is that my parents' fault? You know, they died. So is society kicking me to the curb? Am I supposed to go be a homeless kid? Or is it possible that by providing a social safety net and giving me at least a fighting chance with public education and some Pell grants to go to college, maybe I'll just turn into a productive member of society. Although I've certainly walked down a few bad paths as well.
And what did they say to that?
Oh, but you're the exception to the rule, Crudy. I'm like, no. I was a guy who was given an opportunity that my parents couldn't give me because they were dead. Or as far as I knew, apparently I got a DNA daddy. I didn't know it at the time. But, you know, lived 50 years of my life without the support of a dad, and the last 40 years of my life without the support of a mom. But I'm still out here living in society. And I said, so even if it's the parents' fault, let's blame it on the parents. I know we all like to blame ours, right? And our kids do the same. I said, but what are you basically dooming generations? You're dooming generations. You're writing off generations of people. If the parents are no good, well, screw the kids is basically the attitude. I'm like, but you also want something done about crime. You realize those same kids become perpetrators of crime, right? Or maybe you put a small investment into them. So if you want to talk about litigating or legislating family values, earned income tax credit, what do you think about that, boys? you know, not overly excited. I said, but, you know, all your logic, if that's what you're telling me is most important, give support, prop up the family. Well, you know what? I said, it's hard being poor. I said, it's been a long time for you guys, but do you remember what it's like being poor? When it's hard to keep the light bill on, and if your car breaks down, you're probably going to lose your job, and you can't afford to fix the car, and it spirals and it dominoes on you. I said, however, if you give those people a little bit of safety net, you give a little bit of a help. Well, and the one guy, and I'm almost done. And this is a friend of mine. I like this guy. But Brad says to me, yeah, well, you know, we lived in a 1,000-square-foot house growing up. Like, your dad was a CPA, and as his brother pointed out, yeah, mom had her master's. You might have lived modestly. You might have made smart, shrewd financial choices as a family. But as soon as you kids got done with college, I saw dad moved into the McMansion out in Brookfield. You know, so it's not like they didn't have a leg up societally. They had educational opportunities. They had opportunities presented to them just through the knowledge their mom and dad imparted on the household. But if you don't have that, do we give up on those people in society? And my answer is not from the progressive democratic point of view. I've done most of the talk, man. I'll give you a chance to.
Well, and it doesn't sound like they had a great answer or that they could really explain their animus. I don't really get the animus against Joe Biden either. I've got a neighbor who's got a Let's Go Brandon flag flying outside their house along with the Blue Lives Matter flag. And, yeah. And I don't know what's driving them either.
You don't live near Blaska, do you?
No. Does he have both those flying? Maybe he does. But, yeah, I mean, I can see people not liking the fact that their gas is costing a ton and that their food prices are up and things like that. But to hate this guy, I mean, he doesn't seem like a hateable guy, but there is all this energy of hatred toward Biden, which is certainly out there.
Do you think it's, and we're short on time here, Matt, we'll come back with some phone calls, so maybe hold this thought, but do you think it's because we, the resistant left, were so reactive to Donald Trump? I know I was. Come back. We'll take your phone calls. Want to hear your thoughts as well. I got Matt Rothschild, Co-Devlin, and you on the phones next at 844-967-2789. More Devils.